ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। दिन्मां विगर्हितं साध्वीर् दिन्मां विगर्हितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाचलम् दुष्कृतं कुलकाचलम् हित्वा बालं सखीं योऽहम् हित्वबालं सतिं योऽहम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम् धिन्मं विगाढितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाज्जलम् हित्वबालं सतिं योऽहम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम् धिन्मं विगाढितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाज्जलम् हित्वबालं सतिं योऽहम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम्। धिन्मं विगाढितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाचलम् सतिंयोऽहम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम्। धिन्मं विगाढितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाचलम् हित्वबालं सतिं योऽहम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम्। धिन्मं विगाढितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाचलम् हित्वबालं सतिं योऽहम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम्। धिन्मं विगाढितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाचलम् हित्वबालं सतिं योऽहम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम्। धिन्मं विगाढितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाचलम् हित्वबालं सतिं योऽहम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम्। धिन्मं विगाढितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाचलम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम्। धिन्मं विगाढितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाचलम् सतिंयोऽहम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम्। धिन्मं विगाढितं साध्वीर् दुष्कृतं कुलकाचलम् हित्वबालं सतिं योऽहम् सुराप्यमसतिमगाम्। Dikmam, all condemnation upon me. Vigarhitam, condemned. Sadvihi, by honest men, Duskritam, who has committed sinful acts, Kula Khajalam, who has defamed the family tradition, Hitva, giving up, Balam, a young wife, Satim, chaste, Jaha, who, Aham, I, Surapim, with a woman accustomed to drinking wine, Satim, unchaste, Agam, I had sexual intercourse. Translation, alas, all condemnation upon me. I acted so sinfully that I degraded my family tradition. Indeed, I gave up my chaste and beautiful young wife to have sexual intercourse with a fallen prostitute accustomed to drinking wine. All condemnation upon me. This is the mentality of one who is becoming a pure devotee. When one is elevated to the platform of devotional service by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, one first regrets his past sinful activities. This helps one advance in spiritual life. The Vishnudutas had given Arjuna the chance to become a pure devotee. And the duty of a pure devotee is to regret his past sinful activities in illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. Not only should one give up his past bad habits, but he must always regret his past sinful acts. This is the standard of pure devotion. End of prayer. Om Agyanam Tinhandasyagyanam Ginasrataya Chakshulmukham Tasmai Sri Guru Ma Mao Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prasthaya Vipadai Timati Bhakti Vidanta Swamaniti Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shandavari Pastiti Sadarini Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivansari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, alas, all condemnation upon me. I acted so sinfully that I degraded my family tradition. Indeed, I gave up my chaste and beautiful young wife and had sexual intercourse with a fallen prostitute accustomed to drinking wine. All condemnation upon me. Alas. So, Shila Prabhupada mentioned here how this mentality of Ajimil is the mentality of the pure devotees. One should thoroughly regret one's past sinful activities. Of course, in some parts of the world, the four regulative principles that we follow, they're not considered sinful. They're a part of life. Of course, they are actually considered sinful in one respect, that they're sinful for up until you reach the age of 16 or 18, wherever it may be, then they're sinful. They're punishable. But once you cross that age, then it's horrible. Of course, meat eating is across the board. It starts from birth. But the illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, there's generally a restriction. They can't stop it, you see. But at least they can control the children a bit up till that age, they can try. Because this is a democratic system, then it's what the people want, which flies. So therefore, it's difficult to make strict rules which otherwise the people won't comply, then you'll be out of your position. They'll vote for someone who will comply with what they want. That's the problem with democracy, because the common denominator will rule. The common voice will rule. And the common denominator is those people in the mode of ignorance or less. Tamasurja or less. Said out of out of a thousand, there is one brahmana, nine kshatriyas, 90 vaishyas, and 900 sudras. So then, and what to speak of the rest? So if there's in democracy, then it's a vox populi. They get the vote, so they'll vote for one of their people who have the same mentality. Therefore, you find then everything becomes topsy-turvy, as Srila Prabhupada says. You get the feet where the head should be. But what to do? They have to comply with the citizens, and the citizens are misled, degraded. The leaders are also misled, degraded. But even if they want, they can't restrict, you see. They can try to restrict, but at a certain point they have to give up. Or then they lower the age, the permittable age, from 21 to 18 to 16. The graduate goes like that, because they can't maintain the... You know, if you make a law and no one follows, then what's the use of making a law? So then they have to modify the law, bring it down. So even though there's some feeling of something's wrong, it's not proper, they can't actually, because they don't have any scriptural basis. Of course, there are scriptural basis, but because they don't follow scriptural teachings, the leaders, like they should do, then it becomes very... it creates a hellish situation more and more, because the people engaged in these activities, and they're promoted, these activities, and not only they're actually promoted. That is those four pillars of sinful life are the high points in a degraded society. That's what you, when in your free time, in your prime time, then you engage in those kind of activities. So it's not considered wrong. Difficult for someone coming from that background to actually feel remorse about what they've done in the past, which was in being in total ignorance of their reactions or the downside of it. It's perfectly normal. Right? These activities are perfect. They're not condemned at all, you see. But they, as we know, they from engaging in those base activities, then the human society will lose the qualities of mercy, truthfulness, cleanliness, and tolerance. So those qualities will disappear if you engage in these activities. That's a problem. So in other words, they will increase the mode of passion and ignorance in the people and the whole planet. So therefore, this is how the time affects everyone, and as it gets more to passion and ignorance, then this is known as the Kali Yuga. So. At least, see, you cannot control. So at least, it's like we have four regulative principles, but there's so many other sinful acts which we don't take vows to follow, right? Like, you know, killing and robbing, or so many other things, stealing, whatever. So there has to be some kind of parameter. So this is like the minimum standard of, that will it'll keep you in a human form of life. And if you follow the rule, the scripture, you keep on advancing, even though you may not be able to come up to the highest standard. See, the material world is. Krishna said, it's a temporary place, it's full of suffering, it's a prison, reformation center. And the body is awarded as a punishment, but we take that punishment as an object of enjoyment. This is called Maya. How to turn this object of our suffering into an object of enjoyment? as soon as you got the, as soon as you're born, whatever body you take, you're subject to all these different miseries: old age, disease, death, hunger, thirst, lamentation, all these things come. They're forced upon us. So this preoccupies all one's life. Preoccupied with eating, sleeping, how to enjoy and how to defend. Nothing else is going on in the material world. So those things are forced upon you because of the, you have this material body. But we try to say, no, that's okay, you've got this body and you have to eat, otherwise you suffer. But, you know, eat like this, eat in this restaurant, eat this kind of food, eat with this kind of cutlery. Eat in this restaurant, not ordinary, then you'll be really happy. So you make a whole thing about how to enjoy something which is forced upon you. You're forced to do it, but you're trying to make the whole thing into an enjoyable occupation. And it's the same with all those things. This is sex, intoxication, sleeping, defending. It's the same thing. Then when you perfected it or polished it or expanded it, then you feel this is good, you know, this is civilized. But the whole point is it's not meant for that. It's not meant for enjoying. It's given us a chance to exercise our free will, our independence of acting independently of Krishna. That's the purpose of the material creation. You want to act independently of me? Not possible. But if you really want to do it, if you really want to try, then boom, here, material world, go there. These are the rules. Birth, old age, disease, death, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Then here is... So this is good mind. Everyone's pursuing, trying to find happiness for the senses of the body. And by the nature, the physics of this material world, everything degrades. In the future, everything will be gone, what we see now. It won't be here anymore. In a few hundred years, nothing what we see now will be here. New temple, we hope, 10,000 years. Everything disappears, you know. There may be some initial, you know, growth and sustenance and vibrant, but then again, so there's a nature. So the nature of the living entity is to degrade. From Satyayuga it degrades to Kaliyuga. So this is the Krishna's great intelligence, how he's designed this whole cosmic manifestation. But how do we cause his mercy? Otherwise, how will he get out? How will he know what's going on here? No chance. By his cause his mercy, he enters into the material creation. He sends his devotees into the material creation. and he gives the information he sends into the material creation, how we can wake up to our real interest, become free of this crazy consciousness and behave, act properly, because by proper behavior, your actions in this life, they create the next body, they create the subtle body of desires. So even though it's a material thing, it has an effect, it will affect your future. However we act now, it will design our future body. So, if we act godly, we get a godly body. How was it? if you act just for Krishna, then you go back to Krishna, then you don't come again. So that's Krishna's proposition. Savadharman, Pratitya. You give up all these other isms, other ideas, and surrender to me. On Mahabhava, Mahabhakto, just always. But people can't do that. People are not ready to do that. And not ready to give up the attachments and desires. So therefore Krishna gives up other things. You can do this, you can practice Ashtanga Yoga, you can follow Jnana Yoga, You can follow Karma Yoga, different concessions, so you can fulfill your material desires, at the same time be progressive. This is a long term. But bhakti is direct, you see. As soon as you engage in service of the Lord, that's reality. So the only reality here is Krishna and the jiva. And that's the only real spiritual chit potency. All the rest is an expansion of the chit potency, the material energy. So they're the only two realities. And that connection between the two, which consists of, which is called devotional service, properly, in essence, then that's the only reality. So anything that can use to make that connection between the jiva and the supersoul, Krishna, then that has meaning. That has some actual factual meaning, worthwhile, even though it's matter. Just as the body, you're using the body in the service, then the body has factual meaning, has reality. As activities are not degrading. So even though you're in a degrading pot, in a degrading body, machine, still while you're in it, while it's being degraded, it can be used. It can be, because it won't stay forever, it has to go. It has to go through the changes of birth, old age, disease. But while it's engaged in the service of Krishna, then it takes on its, I suppose, its original constitution. Huh? Because the original because everything is Krishna's energy. He's a Shaktiman. Everything else is Shakti. So everything else is for Krishna's pleasure. It's for his energy. It's like our existence is for pleasure. Right? That's our main consciousness. We want pleasure. We want to remove the problems so they can we can experience pleasure. So that's there because it's there in Krishna. He is the enjoyer, and everything is made for his enjoyment. The Maya is, we falsely claim that it's for my enjoyment. The senses are for my enjoyment. Everyone, other people are for my enjoyment. Other objects are for my enjoyment. Other environments are for my enjoyment. This is how we view everything. Taking the place of Krishna, you see. That is the mentality. As Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati said, the most easiest thing to do, the easiest thing to do is for the small to think himself big. Because the tiny little jiva, completely conditioned, bound up, that thinks himself, no matter what situation he takes birth in, he thinks he's doing okay. Has ups and downs, but thinks he's doing okay. And doesn't want to change that situation. Because you've got that particular body exactly according to your karma, according to your mentality, you see. You wouldn't want to be anyone else, right? You wouldn't want to be another species. Right? You probably wouldn't even want to be a demigod. If it meant leaving everything behind here and being another person. You want to keep your identity. So you get that is one of the potencies of Maya, the covering potency that you're satisfied in any condition. Any birth you take, you're bewildered like that. This is okay. It's okay. We can improve. Okay, it's not the best, but we can improve. But you don't want to change it. You don't want to give it up. You want to improve it. So this is material consciousness. Nobody wants to get out of the material world. Mukti is not on the list. It's artha and karma. Karma is the main thing, to enjoy it. And you need to do that, you need facility, you need artha, and to get artha you need dharma. So they're important. Dharma, artha, karma. Who's interested in mukti? Moksha. Not many people. They want to adjust the material world to be nice here. Not many people actually want to leave the material world behind. Because they don't know what else there is beyond this world. So that's the materialistic consciousness. You want to adjust everything here to make it heaven on earth. That's the idea. Nobody wants to leave it behind. Maybe nobody wants to leave their body behind, change their body. No matter what body you got, it's my body, and I'm trying to become conditioned like that. It's good, it's okay. This is my own. So even though we're very small, we think that we're very important. I mean, I'm completely conditioned by everything. You can understand the conditioned state, the insignificant state of the living entity, because actually you're always insignificant against the material energy or the spiritual energy. It's not within our, the spiritual energy is not within our jurisdiction to manage or demand. Right? We're trying to be spiritual, we're trying hard, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. There are so many things we're trying to, but we're still waiting. So that we're waiting for that mercy to descend upon us, so it descends on us, that means it comes from somewhere else. We can't force that. It's not within our ability. So that is a gift. The mercy is a gift. So we're dependent on someone to give that. And at the same time, we're also dependent on the material energy, Krishna's energy, and the mind, intelligence, space, the identity. We're dependent on these things, right, to achieve whatever we want. Either material or spiritual, you've got to admit you're dependent on this body, unless we're liberated. You've got to use the faculties of this body. You've got to use it to enjoy, you've got to use the senses. To advance in spiritual life, you've got to use the senses. Right? You've got to use your intelligence, and you've got to use your senses to execute the instructions. So you're dependent like that. And you have no actual, you don't have any control over that, because it's Krishna's energy. So we're always actually under the control of Krishna. There can't be any separation from Krishna, but you can be connected with Krishna via the inferior energy or the superior energy, the internal energy. So this is what we want. By good fortune, we've heard of our precarious position in the material world. Like Ajahnil, he's been through it, he's experienced it, not very intelligent. He's experienced the material world, and now he's being pulled from his body, being ripped from his body by the Jamadut. He's very fearful. And then he calls his son Narayan. then these beautiful people come. And they say, don't touch this person. He's pure. And you go, wow, what a relief. Who are these people? What a relief. I was due for a whole bunch of suffering, but these people are great. They saved me. But he doesn't know why. Because he remembers he's acted very simple. He's lamenting. You remember that when they... It's generally what happens at the time of death. All your past flashes before you very quickly, they say. So remember his early training, and he remembered all the good instructions from the scripture, and how he deviated and left it all behind and went up just on the path of sense gratification. And now he's going to have to suffer. But now all of a sudden these people appear from nowhere and save him. Stop these Yamadutas from pulling him. So he's very happy. And then he hears a discussion. Yamadutas, hey, why are you stopping us? This person's sinful. We're not sinful, he's chanting Narayan. But look what he's done. Look what he's chanting Narayan. You know, he's robbed, he's killed, he's harmed so many people. What about those poor people? They've caused so much suffering. He's chanting Narayan. Hey, it's not fair. What about all the suffering he's caused? He's trying to know. That means you just chant Narayana and you all, yeah? Hey, what kind of rules are you following? It's obvious this person has caused so much suffering, he has to atone. He hasn't atoned for it. He didn't perform prayaschitta. We have to take him for atonement. This is logic. It's common sense. You can see it. He's hurt so many people. You can just let them people be hurt. So this is a material picture. We don't know. Nothing happens by chance. You don't get hurt for no reason. Everything is ordained. Everything is karma. You won't get any less suffering or any more enjoyment than you actually do according to your karma. Now who brings that enjoyment and who brings that suffering, that's inconsequential. So anyway, whatever medium it comes through, then we blame or praise that person or that medium. But it's going to come anyway, so this way or that way, Adibolti Gadi, Atmi Gadi, David, your problems are going to come, one or the other. So you can minimize, and sometimes you do it by prayas chitya, which means some voluntary suffering, some voluntary penance, some voluntary... You do something, you have to expend energy or money or something to perform this prayas chitya. But he hasn't even done that, this person, so it's really simple. And all those poor innocent people, why should they go on unjustified? We want justice. It's material vision. But Krishna's got his own rules. The whole existence is just like a dream, as far as Vishnu's concerned. All these universes come and go, all these creations come and go, the Brahmas, they come and go, all in one half a breath of Vishnu. So for him it's not very significant, all the happenings in this material world. So, but he said here, one should actually lament for one's sinful activities, but it doesn't mean, what we were doing an hour ago, what we're thinking about an hour ago. So anything that is not, you're not doing for actually for Krishna's pleasure, or using for the service of Krishna, that's considered sinful also. This is the very bottom line, these four principles. It's the very bottom line. But at every moment, you find, every other moment, whatever we perceive in our senses, we're thinking, the mind says, how can I use that for my benefit? This is a conditioned state of existence. And if you accept that, you accept it, and then you work on that, yes, this is valuable, I'll go for it, then you endeavor for it, then that's a simple activity. It's very fine, you see, because everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure, including us. But we're forgetting Krishna. What will satisfy me? What will make me more comfortable? So we're thinking of our comfort and our happiness. We're not thinking of Krishna's comfort and Krishna's happiness. So if it's not for Krishna, then it's sinful. But in the relative world, then you've got gradations. This is sinful, this is pious. But even pious activities, if it's not for Krishna, what is it? It has no real value, relatively speaking. The Prabhupada said, no punya, no pap. Don't perform any pious activities, don't perform any sinful activities, only Radha Krishna. Because if it's not, means we want to use, we're performing pious activities, why? Because we want some good result. We want a good future. Good birth next time, will it be happy, will it enjoy, won't suffer so much? Good facility, good looks, good intelligence, and a good position. You're born in a good family. This is good karma. You'll get that from pious activities. Why? So I can say it's the same thing, it's the same sinful mentality, I'm the enjoyer. Meant for my enjoyment, not for Krishna. So it's very difficult to give that up, is it? a conditional state, it's an addiction. It's very difficult to give up. As we know, we're trying hard, very difficult to overcome. To actually surrender to Krishna, to surrender your independence to Krishna, it's not an easy thing. We know. So that's so we can consider we should be we can be, although we may have given up the activities and follow these four regular principles, the desire is very difficult to give up. The desire to enjoy, you can give up the, as Krishna says, you may give up the contact with the senses, with the sense objects, but the desire that still lingers, the desire is still there. To think of never enjoying again is almost impossible. So what do we want to enjoy? We want to enjoy Krishna's property. We want to enjoy that which is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Of course, we can utilize the material energy. Krishna doesn't enjoy it, the material energy, per se, but we can utilize it in a way that it will bring Krishna pleasure by offering it to him, by using it, by glorifying him with that material activity. So that is the actual, that is perfection. So it's the last thing, this is a false ego, that I am the doer, the controller. So we get purified of that last, L-A-S-T. The last thing that goes is the first covering, you see, on the soul. So it's also the last covering. It's also the last thing to get to, the false ego. But I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. So although we may give up those gross sinful activities too, we have that mentality also has to follow. If you actually want to experience the Lord's mercy quickly, which we did, Krishna says, we're always anxious to taste the full nectar, Shishashtaka. So if you want that, then one has to be very serious about understanding one's position. Very, very small, I know. Very small. And very insignificant. And this, if there's realization, then there'll be, you know, natural humility. And there'll be great fear also of the material energy. The fear to try to enjoy the material energy. Oh my God, it's like a tiger. It's going to bind me again and catch me and keep me back in the material world again and again. Every time you're thinking of enjoying or controlling the material energy, these are just putting anchors out there, keeping yourself here. The Buddhi Yoga, Bhakti is also called Buddhi Yoga, Yoga of Intelligence. You have to imply the intelligence. But still the heart, the soul is still the conditioned soul is a soul who's desiring, is still yearning for this security and pleasure, because it's absent. Natural, it's our natural being, security and happiness, ananda and sat. So that's all there in our original situation as the pure soul. And the original situation of the pure soul is rendering service to Krishna. So that's the actual perfection of one's existence. If we can do that here, use everything in the service of Krishna, then that is our perfection. Then you'll actually become blissful and experience ananda. Experience Krishna consciousness by his mercy, because he will. If you actually surrender, then Krishna will be obliged. but unless you give up, you learn. Krishna says, "Yayatamam prabhajante." As you surrender to me, then I will reciprocate accordingly. So we can't expect the full mercy of Krishna if we don't fully give everything to Krishna, or fully give everything give up the idea that we're still enjoying Krishna's external energy. So Krishna says, go ahead, enjoy it. I'll give you this much of my ananda, and then you can enjoy the material energy. But if you don't want to enjoy the material energy, then Krishna can give you more enjoyment through the, because the goal is enjoyment. But that's enjoyment, that desire for enjoyment will lead us to love Krishna eventually, because it will lead us to have faith that Krishna will fulfill all our desires, will get all our needs met if we go to Krishna. There's four kinds of all the pious people, they go to Krishna. But they all want something. We're all going to take something from Krishna. No one's going for his pleasure, you see. But the process which we agree to follow with faith to achieve our means, that process will actually purify those desires by engaging the senses and the mind and the intelligence and the false ego. Krishna's service, then that purifies the senses, it purifies the mind, it purifies the intelligence, and purifies the false ego. Then real ego is love of Krishna. So that's how the program works. So as Prabhupada said, the sign of an advanced devotee that is always lamenting about his past, about his sinful past activities. So everything is sinful in this world. It's a place for sinful people, right? If we weren't sinful, we wouldn't be here. We'd be in the spiritual world. So the sins to varying degrees of sin. So we can ask ourselves why I'm not feeling so remorseful about my previous impious activities. I was in complete ignorance and it wasn't even sinful in the environment that I came from. Why should I feel guilty and about that? But no, what about yesterday? What about this morning? Still looking at Krishna's energy as a how I can enjoy Krishna's energy, which actually should be used. I should be engaging in his service if I can. So it goes very deep, that desire. Anyway, but because of the situation, Ajamil, he's being ripped out of his body. It's very, very fearful. And very fearful. And these people are mean, those Yamadutas, they're ruthless. And he knows he's going to suffer like anything. It's just where they're going to take him, he's going to suffer. Then all of a sudden these Vishnu Dutas appear and check them. And then he's so relieved, but he's still in a state of shock. But he's so relieved. And then they start this amazing discussion about religious, what is Dharma, what is religion, what is irreligion. It's really, it goes to a transcendental level. The Yamadutas didn't even know about this, have this understanding. So, and Ajahnul's in that state of like shock, he's all ears, you know, and he's just, what's going on? Like, like you're hearing the lawyer and the two lawyers trying to, you're on a murder charge, you know, you're very, very attentive to what's being said. And so he's hearing all this and he's assimilating it, he's understanding it. He's having realization at that time because he has no desire now for material enjoyment. At that time of death is a good time. You get a lot of realization on your last days, because you realize you're actually insignificant. You can't move. You can't move. Yeah, you're lucky if you can breathe. It's difficult to breathe. That's how insignificant you. So naturally, you become self-realized. You become self-realized quickly at that time. What I've heard all these years and years I've been here. Now I understand what it means. We are insignificant. We don't have any independent power, ability. We don't have it. You can't lift your hand. Now you realize that. I was always dependent on Krishna, but I never took it seriously. I never believed it. I didn't have that much faith. I always had faith in my own ability, that I was a doer, I was a controller. And now it's all gone. It's all taken away. You get a lot of realizations at that time. So the Ajahn, then he's completely open. He's complete, not thinking about enjoying, not thinking about anything else like that. Obviously, great near-death experience. You know, he's completely purified of that desire to. When there's great shock, you don't think about sense gratification, do you? That's our experience. When someone very close to you, a great tragedy happens. You just don't want to live. You don't want to eat, right? That's how you feel. What about sense gratification? You don't even want to eat. So that's the condition. He's not thinking of anything, you know, but he's hearing this amazing conversation, and he's getting enlightened. And that's it. He's fixed. And then the Yamadas will go. The Vishnadas will go. And he realizes his vulnerable position, and he just. Beeline for Hardwar, just a serious budget, and he's not going to be deviated like for anything. then he goes back to Godhead because of that. Godhead is a good luck story here. But simply because Narayan, one thing, Narayan, that's all he said. Half a breath, Narayan. Out of all those heaps of simple life and all those, Narayan, that was it. A very amazing way the Lord acts. So anyway, it will say, what to speak of those who chant the names of Krishna with reverence and faith. So that is what will be the result of those people. So we can learn reverence and faith in Krishna, that he is there, because this is a factual history, that he is there. The holy name is not different from that name. But we cannot perceive it because of our desires to, illicit desires, to enjoy his property, to manage his property. That's the only reason. So if we can give that up, then we can actually appreciate Krishna. You're ready to appreciate Krishna in his name, to experience Krishna in his name. When he's sarat, he's independent. When he wants to give. But you're ready. You're perfectly ready at that time. So this is what we can do. We can try to prepare ourselves so we're ready when the mercy comes. We're just waiting for that. So then there should be... That's why when one is advanced like that, then there's a regret for all my past activities, all my sinful activities, all that. Neglect of Krishna's mercy, abusing Krishna's mercy, he has appeared in his holy name, and I'm just using it for my own purposes. That's why Ajami was sinful, he chanted Narayan. Someone who's practicing, who knows Krishna, he has faith in Krishna, he's chanting the holy name, but at the same time he's performing sinful activities. He knows, he has knowledge, his name is so powerful that I just chant it afterwards and I'll be, my sin will go. Doesn't work. Krishna doesn't like that. That's abuse. That's abuse of mercy. If you have knowledge, you suffer more, you see. So that Krishna's come, he's given the mercy, he said, here, please take this mercy. Then you take that mercy and just abuse it. Okay, I'll do what I want and I'll keep that mercy and be atoned for all my sins. Namaparad. One of the most serious apparatus to commit simple activities on the strength of chanting the holy name, that, you know, it's so powerful. No, Krishna. No, you have knowledge. You understand the potency of the holy name. And you're misusing that. You're misusing that, my mercy. Get back. Krishna won't tell it now. Are you all? Anyway, this was a good luck story and an eye-opener for us all here today and in the future. Jai Srima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sri Gopala Ki Jai. Jai Gopala Nandi. Hari Hari Bol. Hari Bol.